Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Fiction, science fiction, horror, fantasy, crime, LGBT, thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCAA 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 105.0 AM Palm Springs.
We're going to be talking about a new book coming out on April 16th, so you can pre-order it. We've had one of the authors, or the forward person before. We've had Jesse Ventura on, and now we have Jen Hobbs. So, Jen Hobbs, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So, Jen, how did you get involved with old the old governor?
Well, I've known him for about 10 or so years now. I met him when I was the publicist at Skyhorse Publishing, which is the publishing house that published Don't Start the Revolution Without Me. And I worked with him on that book tour and all of his other book tours after that. And he knew about my, I guess you could say my background as far as cannabis. My husband's a medical marijuana patient. We moved to California a few years ago to grow medical marijuana. And he always wanted to write a book about his views on cannabis. So we got together and wrote Jesse Ventura's Marijuana Manifesto. And then a lot of the research that we put together for that book inspired this book.
Wow. Yeah, we had him on when he was doing that book, and we've dealt a lot with the publisher. That's been a really good publisher for us. A lot of good books have come out of there.
Yeah, definitely. They have a pretty diverse genres over there.
Yeah, I find it's quite good. So American Hemp. Now, let's start with some of the basics. First of all, what do you think that, let's talk about the history. Why do you think there's so much negativity toward pot or hemp or marijuana, the whole range of it? Like, why? I mean, it's slowly getting there, right, where it's turning into more positive than negative, but there still seems to be a group of people that are, I don't know if it's scared of it or if they're just angry about it or what. There's still some people that are against this whole wave of going legal. So where does that fear come from, do you think?
Well, that's a really good question. It seems to be part of our culture in a way. I feel like there's a lot of stigmas behind it. And I think primarily that comes from the fact that, marijuana and hemp were, hemp recently was taken off the list, but they're both were listed as Schedule I narcotics, by the federal government. And when you're put on with that listing, that's right next to heroin. So, for people that are looking at, you know, how dangerous is a drug, I mean, that's a pretty strange comparison, you know, to put it in the same category as heroin. A Schedule I narcotic is a drug that supposedly is highly addictive and has zero medical benefits, which we know is not true of marijuana or hemp. So I think a lot of it is just educating people and making them realize that, you know, hey, this isn't true about either hemp or marijuana. And I think that the process is really starting to come together now that the government has basically admitted that they were wrong, at least about hemp, and taken hemp off of that list and now labeled it as a agricultural commodity. So I think we're going to see a big shift with that, and especially with people that, I mean, the generations born now where marijuana is legal in some way, shape, or form in most states, and now that hemp is federally legal, I think a lot of that fear and a lot of the misconceptions are really going to start to go away.
So what's it going to take to legalize it federally, like as in not just for medical reasons? Like in Canada, it just became legal in October of 17, and it's just legal, period. They classify it like an alcohol. So, right, you know, 19 and older, you can drink or you can smoke pot. So how far before we get that?
That's a really good question. I mean, it really depends on who's elected, right? It depends on, you know, what they are willing to take on. As far as marijuana is concerned, you know, we have over, at this point, it's over half the country, over half of all the 50 states have legalized marijuana in some way. Not fully, not, you know, fully recreational, but most have some sort of medical marijuana program. So I think it's going to get to this point where, you know, I mean, maybe it'll have to be all 50 states that legalize it in some way for the government to say, okay, we have to come up with some sort of, you know, guidelines here, some sort of national regulation, because otherwise, you know, you get each individual state has different rules, and it gets a little confusing, especially for people that are traveling in and out of those states. You know, you might have a medication that's completely legal in California and then go visit your cousins in Idaho and it's 100% illegal over there. So, you know, it's just going to get to this point, I think, that we're going to have to, you know, face the fact that it's not a highly addictive substance like heroin and you know, amend the law. One thing that is really interesting, though, is that there are some politicians that are starting to get involved in the medical marijuana or just legal marijuana business. John Boehner actually is on the board of one of the very big corporations. I guess you could call it a corporation. One of the big marijuana companies, and you know, he's been coming out lately and saying, "Oh yeah, you know, it's time for the government to just legalize this." And then, meanwhile, his entire political career, he said the opposite.
Well, I think that kind of runs if you're a conservative. It runs with, for your constituents, right? So you don't want to be coming out pro something if you won't get voted in. That's why, which is kind of hypocritical in a sense, you know. But I mean, I'm glad he's come out now. But
yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just so funny because, you know, for someone to totally do an about face like that is, it's just interesting to see what they end up getting involved in after they leave office, you know. So we might see some of that, you know, at least from a strategic standpoint, it makes sense for marijuana companies to, you know, do something like that, you know, take a John Boehner and put them on their board and, you know, try and get the word out from that base, you know, to say, hey, it's not terrible.
Well, you know, I'm half Canadian, and I go back up all the time from Seattle back into Canada, and it's hilarious the difference in attitude and the way you can go to a pub or a tavern, as they it would be, and they have pot smoking areas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just not even that nobody even thinks about it, and yet in certain states you can watch live PD and they're still busting people for it.
Yeah, it's just so strange.
Yeah, it just, you know, yeah. I just kind of think, well, it's ridiculous, you know. If I think if you do something wrong, if you get really stoned and drive, that's wrong. You do, it's like anything, right? But it's just one of those battles. Now, I find very interesting in your book how you talk about a lot of the positive aspects that we get from hemp, and some of the things you mention I find very important. Like one, of course, you say it improves your health. What are the biggest health benefits do you think hemp gives us?
Well, when it comes to eating it for food, you're getting a lot of different vitamins, protein, nutrients. It's actually referred to as a superfood because of the unique quantities of all different types of, the vitamins and nutrients in the hemp seeds. So what you're getting is you're getting a high dose of protein, omega-3, omega-6, iron, magnesium, zinc, potassium, vitamin E. So it's a long list of just different different nutritional benefits that you usually have to, you know, eat a balanced diet of, you know, vegetables and, you know, fish or chicken to really get all of those in. And the really interesting thing about it is that you don't have to take very much of it to get a daily, you know, what you need to consume on a daily basis. So, for instance, if you, you know, went to the store and picked up a pack of hemp protein, you might only need to take about 4 tablespoons of that to get, you know, a rich fiber and protein amount. So it's one, if you look at it from a serving standpoint, so like 4 tablespoons of hemp protein powder, that satisfies about 50% of our daily recommended fiber serving. So it's pretty significant when you consider, you know, how little of it you need to take.
Wow, I didn't realize that. We hear a lot about the CBD oil, mm-hmm. and that being good for all sorts of things like arthritis and pain and stuff. Do you believe that too, or is that right?
Yeah. So the difference here is, you know, the nutritional benefits are found in the hemp seed. You're not going to get any CBD if you go to the store and you pick up hemp seeds or hemp protein powder, or you make, you know, hemp milk from the seeds or hemp butter or whatever, you know, hemp oil for cooking, that's not going to have CBD in it because it comes from the seeds. The CBD comes from the hemp flower, and that actually, there's been so much research into CBD, the cannabinol, in the hemp plant, and also CBDs in marijuana as well. So what they've found is that it helps so many different ailments, everything from glaucoma to heart disease, pain from arthritis, as you were saying, anxiety, anything you could, I mean, it's incredible how many different things, you know. It even helps with some neurological problems, epilepsy. And the reason why is because we have the system in our body called the endocannabinoid system. And this is involved in a lot of different aspects of our bodies. So some of it's cognitive functioning, some of it's our mood, some of it's our response to stress or pain. Some of it has to deal with our metabolism and our immune system, our memory. So when you take CBD, the CBD actually will bond with the receptors in the endocannabinoid system, and what it does is it will help balance any deficiencies or adjust excessive activity. So that's why you see it has such wide range effects for people.
Wow. Yeah, and now another thing, when you mentioned how this will help with climate change and, mm-hmm. and cleaning the environment, what have you found about that?
Well, there's a couple of different ways hemp can do that. The one thing that I found really interesting about it, and we Just Even Tours Marijuana Manifesto, we dedicated a chapter just on hemp. And that was it was a difficult chapter to write because there was so much information to fit into one chapter. Mm-hmm. And that's really what inspired this book. And the one thing I found particularly fascinating that I didn't know beforehand was that there's something called photoremediation. That what that means is hemp has the ability to essentially clean the soil, take toxins out of the soil. And other plants can do that as well, but because hemp has a really deep root system, it's able to take out more toxins than, let's say, a sunflower or ferns. Certain types of ferns can take certain chemicals out of the soil. But what's really fascinating is all of the different studies that have been done to show the degree at which hemp can remove toxins. So, for example, when the Chernobyl blast occurred, there were some researchers that brought hemp over and planted it in the soil, and they found that it actually removes the radiation from the soil. And then there's other studies as well that show that it takes out lead. So, for instance, over in Italy right now, there's a town of farmers that are using hemp to clean farmland that was exposed to industry toxins, and lead was one of those toxins. So they're using it to hopefully clean that out of the soil so that the land can be used again for farming.
Wow. Yeah, and you talk about it's there's a lot of benefits. So we were talking about health and we're talking about climate change and stuff, but there's benefits in industry and there's plenty of uses for hemp that aren't just about eating it or intaking it. What do you think some of the best things that can do in society?
Yeah, so there are so many different paths for hemp, which is really the incredible part. We really hear a lot in the news about CBD. We hear about, you know, obviously it's a nutritional benefit. And then, you know, there's a lot of different health and beauty care products.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
That already incorporate it, you know, lotions or bath bombs or shampoo, things like that. But there's a whole other range, obviously, because hemp's always been used for creating rope, clothing. You can make paper out of it, but a lot of different industries are finding ways to incorporate hemp into their existing products. So, for example, in the car industry, BMW has been incorporating hemp into the doors of the car. So instead of using carbon fiber, they take natural fibers and they use hemp to create those same plastic doors that decrease the weight of the car, which helps, you know, with the fuel economy and so on. And what this also does is it helps make the car a little bit more eco-friendly because of the way in which you make that material with hemp. It doesn't use the same chemicals. So that's really a really big environmental benefit as well when you're able to, you know, take, you know, add it to existing products and also, you know, obviously help the environment at the same time.
That's pretty amazing. I just I can't believe how much possible use there is for it. Why was it made illegal before? Like, what was the problem and when did they make it illegal?
So that's really an interesting history. Back in the 1930s, there was a movement to start a taxation system for marijuana. It was called the Marijuana Tax Act, and hemp was included in that act. And essentially, what the government at that time decided was, well, we can't really ban something, but we can tax it to the point where people would be uninterested in producing it or buying it. And so that's essentially what occurred. The Marijuana Tax Act was part of the IRS code. So essentially, if you wanted to grow hemp, you had to sign up for a special permit, you had to pay the government, and then if you wanted to process it, you also had to pay, you know, a tax on that, and it just got to this point where people were like, well, this is the only crop that we have to pay all these taxes for, and you know, is it really worth it? You know, I mean, from one crop year to the next, you just never know how it's going to turn out. You could have, you know, an early frost come in or something like that. And they just didn't want to take that risk at the time. So hemp became, you know, it just kind of died out essentially. But what's interesting is, you know, the Marijuana Tax Act was passed in 1937, and then by the 1940s, the government was asking people to grow it because we needed it for World War II, and they took all the taxes away, and the USDA actually helped farmers learn how to grow it. They built all these different processing plants, you know. It was really quite an enormous task. And then immediately after the war, they started implementing these taxes again. So it's just really, it's really interesting. And the reasoning why was because, you know, they were trying to say, well, it looks similar to marijuana. And it's just, you know, the leaves look the same, and we can't, you know, the seed itself looks the same. So, you know, how is law enforcement supposed to know the difference? And, you know, that's always been one of the, I guess, the excuses that we hear time and time again from law enforcement in general. How, you know, how are we supposed to know the difference? But when you look at the plant, there's a lot of genetic differences that are pretty easy to see.
So, and now what? So, what are the biggest things that we face in getting it legal in all aspects? So, what do you think the biggest blocker is right now?
Well, for hemp in particular, or for marijuana?
Well, probably for all. You know, we could start with hemp.
Sure. So with hemp, the Farm Bill, the 2018 Farm Bill, made hemp federally legal. So all aspects of hemp are federally legal. But they're still subject to regulation at this point. So what the federal government did is it put out, you know, certain guidelines, and then it said to the states, you know, it's up to you guys to figure out exactly how you want to regulate this in your own state. So there are two states right now that decided that they are going to continue their ban on hemp up till 2020, and then they're going to assess what they want to do. So in Idaho and in South Dakota right now, hemp is still considered illegal and the same as marijuana, which is also illegal. So it's just kind of interesting that they decided to go that route when it's federally legal, and we have at least, I know it's at least 40 states right now that have already legalized hemp and are looking to put together plans to get people to, you know, put hemp in the ground this year. So some of it, again, is, you know, misconception, but I think the one challenge that we might have is going to be with CBD. Because technically, since hemp is now federally legal, and that makes CBD from hemp federally legal, the FDA is going to have to weigh in on the guidelines around that. You know, if it can be put in beverages, for instance, which it already is, because states have legalized that. Certain states have legalized that, but on a federal level, you know, what are they going to allow? What are they not going to allow? What the parameters are? And they're supposed to be deciding that, they were supposed to have a meeting on it this month, but it was postponed to May. So we still don't really know.
but, well, I think some of it is probably there's a lot of misinformation or a lot of things people won't understand. Maybe to, in a simple sort of explanation, what is the difference between cannabis, hemp, and marijuana? Like, what is the difference when people are, they seem to use these words interchangeably, but they're not really the same, are they?
Right, exactly. And that's part of the problem is, you know, it has been used interchangeably for so long because our laws have said it's the same for so long, and it's not. So, you know, the first chapter of the book, I kind of go over all of the differences between the two. So just in the basic way to describe it is hemp and marijuana are both, they're both cannabis. Most people are labeling them as kind of cousins right now. They're, you know, they're related, but they're not the same. And marijuana has a higher THC content in it than hemp does. THC is the psychoactive element. So you can actually smoke, hemp and you won't get high. because it has 0.3% THC, whereas marijuana has much more. So that's the basic difference. But from appearance-wise, they look also extremely different. Hemp looks more like bamboo as it grows. It's grown more in a field similar to the way you'd grow corn. It's a very high stalk. And marijuana is more of a bush. It's more of like a tree, low tree shape. And while their leaves are, the leaves are the same as far as how many, the leaves look the same, but the marijuana leaf is usually fatter than the hemp leaf. It's a skinnier leaf. And I guess the major difference between them is if you grow hemp in too close of a proximity to marijuana, the pollen from the hemp will actually turn the will actually decrease the content of THC in the marijuana to the point where it's not worth smoking for the euphoric effects. So hemp essentially can cancel out marijuana's recreational or medical use if it's grown in proximity to it. And there's a lot of other little differences. I mean, genetically wise, we can tell if you go, you know, if you take it to a lab, they can tell you immediately if it's hemp or marijuana.
Well, and hemp tends to be used more for things like paper and clothing and stuff like that.
Right, right, exactly. It's, I mean, it, there's a reason it's called industrial hemp. It's more for those purposes, exactly.
Yeah, and now are there? What are the other purposes for the cannabis, or is it just about
for marijuana? Yeah, for marijuana, it's just that one purpose. That's all. That's all it is.
Okay, well, that's pretty straightforward. What kind of feedback are you getting releasing a book like this and doing this sort of work? What's the general attitude you get from people?
Well, it's really interesting. When Jesse Ventura and I, when we went on tour with the Marijuana Manifesto, that was back in 2016, and people that we spoke to were really... a lot of people didn't know about all of the things that hemp could do, or all of the medicinal properties of cannabis, and it really opened their eyes to a lot of information and a lot of American history that we really aren't taught. You know, it's not really easy to go out and find this information, especially even online. It's a little tricky to pull up, you know, the relevant articles. So, you know, between that and then with this book, I hope that it continues to, you know, really help to educate people about the two plants. And definitely the one thing that I really find interesting is that, you know, when you look at polling, and they always refer to Gallup polling in the country for, you know, for marijuana, you know, should it be legal, should it not? Overwhelmingly now, it's like past 60% want it legal. And I feel like the more information that we can get out there to people to really push, you know, to show that, hey, it's not as dangerous as you were led to believe, can only help for people, you know, health-wise, and for the economy and for the environment.
Yeah. So, and I was going to ask, what do you hope people get out of your book?
Yeah, that's basically it. I mean, I want to, the reason I really wrote it as well was because I wanted to show that prohibition really doesn't help anybody. You know, I mean, we've had this prohibition on cannabis since the, you know, on and off throughout our history since the 1930s, and it doesn't help us. You know, I mean, everyone knows the story about prohibition for alcohol in America and how, you know, all it did was made gangsters powerful. You know, it didn't take alcohol away. It just put it in the hands of criminals, and it didn't really help anybody. You know, it didn't stop people from drinking. And when you legalize something, you can regulate it. You can, you know, make it safe to consume. You can, you know, make sure, for instance, as it pertains to cannabis, that it's grown without pesticides and that, you know, it's safe to consume. So, you know, the reasoning behind it is really that prohibition doesn't do anything but harm us and harm our economy.
And there's really a lot of tax to be collected as well on things like this, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. That was actually one of the main reasons they took away prohibition was they're like, hey, you know, you're drinking anyway, and I'm not, you know, the federal government's not getting their tax.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, a lot of states and, I mean, you have to, for marijuana in particular, there's so many taxes you have to pay, especially if you're growing it recreationally. And hemp is still, you know, since it's an agricultural crop, it's hopefully never going to come to that. But, you know, you still have to pay a permit and an application fee and, you know, have enough capital to get started up, you know, to be approved for growing it. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But, yeah, I mean, the federal government was probably taking a look and saying, well, you know, we can get a little bit more money if we just legalize this.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's pretty amazing. Okay, so now what kind of information do you want to give out about yourself? As in, do you have a website, blog, anything like that? Where can people get a hold of you?
Sure. So I started a blog to go along with this book because, you know, especially since the Farm Bill was passed, there is so much information out there. And I just wanted to keep people up to date on the latest information as far as hemp legalization goes and, you know, any medical studies that come out that are, you know, promising that either pertain to some of the topics in the book or are completely new topics. And so the blog is free to read, and it's a subscription model. So you put in your email, and then as a blog post is up, you get an email about it. And the website is AmericanHemp.substack.com.
Fantastic. And the book goes on sale on the 16th. I'm sure it'll be at all major and small bookstores as well as Amazon.
Yep. That's on Barnes & Noble, Amazon. I saw it listed on Target, IndieBound. So, you know, anywhere books are sold, you can either buy it online or possibly in store.
The Christian bookstores?
I don't know.
Oh, I'll get it for that. But this has certainly been a pleasure. You're a joy to talk to. And for our listeners, we'll have the book on our page as well. So you can just do one click if you're listening through the website or through your phone or through the app. And again, Jen Hobbs, American Hemp. The book is out April 16th. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun.
To find out more about our show, guests, or to listen to past shows from our archive, please go to www.houseofmysteryradio.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Yeah.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.